Welcome back to Traveling with Françoise. I am Françoise Rhodes, your host. Great to have you with us on the second hour of the show as we shift gears into travel, into our travel mode. We want to welcome all our friends in Arizona and all across the United States because now we get a whole new batch of listeners that join us because, frankly, they don't even get the first hour local show. And second, they're more interested in what's going on in the world of travel. Joining us in the boardroom is Sean Flanagan, as always. Hey, Sean.
Hello, how are you?
Fine. We had busy, first phone busy this morning. Justin won, Shannon won, we had some winners. We do have more prizes. And this hour, though, it's all going to be Jazz in the Pines tickets.
There we go.
Because those folks have been so great to offer some passes that are good for either Saturday or Sunday for you to go out to Jazz in the Pines, which is going to be a next weekend, which is August, what is that, August 12th? 11th, 12th, something like that.
It's all blurring together at this point.
Yeah, it is already August. Okay. Well, I want to thank Coachella Valley Volkswagen. They are the presenting sponsors today of Traveling with Françoise. And this is good. This sounds too good to be true, but take them up on it. They said if you call over there, the service department, and mention Traveling with Françoise, I'd say to George, ask for George, because George knows me really well, that you will get a free oil change for any automobile, and no trucks or vans or big rigs or RVs, but for cars, free oil change.
Can't beat that.
I know, it's ridiculous, and they're thinking, what's the catch, Françoise? And there really is no catch, except if you want to make it a catch, they would love for you to just see the building, see what they have to offer.
Check out what they have.
Yeah, wander around, look at some cars, and know what's there. That's really what it's all about. Know what's there, so when you are ready to purchase a new or pre-owned car, you'll know what they have to
offer.
You'll
know where to go.
That's it. So 200-4000 is their phone number. That's 200-4000 for a free oil change at Coachella Valley Volkswagen on Varner Road in Indio. Give them a call tomorrow. We want to thank them. And all my sponsors, we want to thank them. They are on the website at travelingwithfrancoise.com. Okay, this past week, lots of things have been going on. I was on KESQ yesterday. I talked about Yosemite National Park, which here's something that I'm just going to right off the bat tell you about. You know that big fire that just recently happened in Yosemite? You know, it is said now gunfire caused the wildfire near Yosemite National Park that destroyed 131 structures, including 63 homes.
Wow.
They don't know who was shooting. It was somebody probably out there just shooting for fun.
In the middle of nowhere, yeah.
Yeah, goofing around, and that burned 127 square miles. Of course, it prompted evacuation. So much happened. Cal Fire is offering a $2,000 reward. It should be more than $2,000.
Yeah.
I mean, really, to get someone to speak up for a fire that could have destroyed all of Yosemite.
Man,
I mean, how hard
crazy.
Does firemen worked? How many millions of dollars we spent on firemen? But anyway, there is a $2,000 reward for information about the person responsible for starting that fire in Yosemite. So Cal Fire is offering that. Anyway, can you believe that? Gunshots. With all the rain that we've had this year, it doesn't seem like anything would be that crisp.
That dry to just,
yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
But Yosemite is open for business. Yosemite is open, doing well. It is $30 per vehicle to enter. Remember that. They have the lodging down below, the restaurants, the lodging. You really have to check, make reservations way in advance because they are full. You know, they run pretty full because there's not that many down there. And it is a little tiny bit pricey, so you might want to consider staying outside about 30 minutes away and just driving in and spending the day.
Right.
Yeah, or if not, or you could go inside. No. Pageant of the Masters. That show is available now on the air, on TV, on Fox 11, on Thursdays at noon and Friday mornings at 5:30 a.m. So check it out. We turned this one around quickly because Pageant of the Masters in Laguna Beach does end at the end of August, August 31st. I know we gave a lot of pageant tickets away. Congratulations to all of the winners. Other things happening here as we shift into travel mode. Vacation rentals, all the rage. Well, La Quinta, they are really cracking down on vacation rentals now.
They're the next one.
Big time. They have hired a company that they're going to be spending quite a bit of money with this company, a couple hundred thousand dollars, for this company to start finding out who is renting all these homes out illegally and making sure they get the right permits. Because when you think about it, it's not fair that other people do it correctly and pay the tax and those don't.
Right.
So it really should be a fair playing field. That's how the city makes revenue, to help fund all these things like the residence golf programs and all that. So La Quinta, if you live in La Quinta, be prepared because they are really cracking down. So, and then it's not fair for the hotels. Why should the hotels have to pay the transient occupancy tax, that TOT?
Right.
And these people...
I don't think people should have to pay the tax. I mean, it's their home.
But they're renting it out for
business use. Right.
That's the difference. If you're just giving it to a friend, say, hey, come and stay here, and the friend leaves a couple $100 to cover food or whatever, that's one thing. But when you bought a home, because a lot of these homes, people don't even live in it, Sean.
Oh, I know. I think there's one behind me.
Yeah, they just rent it out.
Yeah.
So that's a business.
Yeah.
That's an investment.
Well, I think the one behind me, I think they're selling it is what they're doing, but it's still furnished.
And, so they're still renting it out?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's just my assumption, because there was a couple days where people were out there in the pool all day and all night. Well, not, you know, not into bad hours of the evening, but it was just something that, it sounds weird, but that you wouldn't hear a local. Like, it was really, wasn't, you could tell it wasn't local.
Yeah, because locals don't use their pool.
We don't just hang out in the pool all day.
No.
When we have guests, okay, but other than that, we don't hang out in the pool all day.
You look at it, because it's still out there? Yeah, still there. Uh-huh. It's in, you don't need the heater, though, right now.
Nope.
You certainly don't do that. Okay, so we covered a little bit of that. We have a lot of travel news to talk about, but I want to tell you a little bit about my trip to Las Vegas. Last weekend I was not here. Went to Las Vegas, stayed with my good pal John to celebrate my birthday, the end of July birthday. But I took the back roads through the Mojave National Preserve, which is, first of all, what's interesting is some people spell Mojave with an H, and others spell it with a J.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like I've always seen it with a J.
With a J. But now I'm looking at my map that I printed from online, and it has the H in it. And yet on the sign, I'm sure the sign says J. M-O-J-A-V-E.
I would say so.
I think it says J. But I went the back way, and some people are saying, oh, it's too scary. There are a few areas where there's no cell phone service. But I stopped at the Kelso Visitor Center, where the old train station is.
Oh, yeah.
And if you've never been there, stop. First of all, the ranger was telling me they get, during the summer, about 200 people a day.
Really?
Which is sort of out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
The train does not stop there anymore, by the way. But it is a visitor center. And it has a whole old ticket booth still there.
Really?
Yes. It's really something. And they've cleaned it up, because I guess for a while there were squatters and all sorts of people. And then the park finally got into it, cleaned it all up. It looks really nice. The building is a beautiful building. They have the old jail sitting outside so you can see it.
Oh, yeah.
It was just a cage with a divider where they would put, because Kelso was a very small town. But it was a boom town for a while with the railroad tracks and stuff and gold miners. So there's a lot of history in Kelso that you wouldn't even think was out there. But he's saying, no, they get a lot of visitors. And during the season, when we are busy here, they get even more people going the back way
to Vegas,
and we get our international visitors want to go see the Mojave Preserve.
Right.
So it's a different road. It's a two-way highway, but it's really quiet, peaceful. It could be kind of, I guess, scary if you let it be scary, because you see cars passing you, but not a ton. It kind of goes in spurts.
I drove it in the middle of the night.
Oh, now
I think the one time I was there
would
it was
scary. See, I would be scared I'd miss my turn. That would be the only thing that bothered me.
I think we did miss a turn.
Yeah. Well, a car full of people, I'd be all right. But I would not drive it at night alone. But I did drive it alone. It cut out an hour.
Wow.
I was home when I left John's. I forgot what time. I think it was around 8:30. I don't know. And I made several stops, because I stopped to put gas in the car and get something to eat. And then I stopped to take some pictures once I was out there on the highway on Mojave, because I wanted to take some of the trees and stuff. And I stopped at the Kelso's Visitors Center, talked to the ranger, gave myself a little tour of that. I stopped in Amboy. I looked in Amboy. The hotel, it's just, they're just open bungalows. They don't rent those out, even though they're all painted.
Right.
They're not rented out in Amboy. And they have a little cafe. It says cafe, but yet they have no kitchen service. They did have a food truck there, but it was kind of funny. These people, international visitors, were going in looking, I think, to sit down and have breakfast. And there's a big sign, no kitchen service. And they had drinks, though, and snacks and stuff that you could buy already prepackaged in the food truck outside. I did all that, and I was home in 4 hours.
Really?
That is how much time it cuts off going the back way. And it really is quite a beautiful ride. So we did that, and that's about it. So with that said, I'm going to take us to a break so we can come back and have our guest on, John Newman, who will be joining us to talk about Jazz in the Pines. We will be right back as soon as Sean can flick us over to the commercial break, and then we'll be back with our guest. You're listening to Traveling with Francois right here on Money Radio. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Françoise. Well, it is here right around the corner. In fact, it is next weekend, August 11th, 12th, and 13th. It is the Idlewild Arts Foundation 24th Annual Jazz in the Pines Festival. It is a not-miss, a must-do. Joining us is John Newman. He is the Director of Business Operations at the Idlewild Arts Foundation. This is such a fun event. Welcome to the show, John Newman.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it is great to have you. I know a lot of things are happening over there because your event is next weekend. So, John, before we talk about the Jazz in the Pines, the festival itself, I think a lot of people, they don't even realize that the Idlewild Arts Foundation is up there in Idlewild. So why don't you give us a little heads up about the facility?
Okay, I'd be happy to. The Idlewild Arts Foundation was founded in 1946 by Max and Bea Krohn, who were dean of the School of Music and on faculty, respectively, at USC. And they envisioned a place kind of off the beaten path and away from city life where people of all walks of life could come together and through the universal language of music in particular and the other arts, create more harmony in the world. And so the foundation owns and operates the Idlewild Arts Academy, which is a school year-round boarding facility for 300 students from around the world, and they study in one of seven different arts disciplines intensely, and then also the Idlewild Arts Summer Program, and we also produce Jazz in the Pines.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, I've been up there, I had toured the facility, and it really is quite amazing. And a point you brought out is, yes, people come from all over the world to go up there to for the education programs. And I am sure that you have quite a waiting list of students trying to get into the facility up there.
It is a competitive program. And as I said, the students audition or submit portfolios in the creative arts and in writing disciplines to gain admission. And, you know, it's relatively small, 300 students, and that's what we feel is kind of a sweet spot for us. So, yes, more students apply than are accepted. And there definitely is a talent threshold for the academy, unlike the summer program, which is open to all ages and ability levels across the various arts departments. So people who are simply interested in art making and want to come and have an experience in the beautiful San Jacinto Mountains, all are welcome for the summer program. The academy, more competitive.
Oh, right. Okay, and going on to fund a lot of these things happening up there, to fund all the educational programs, of course, fundraisers are in place. You don't have that many, but this one, going on 24 years, because it is such a huge success. Every year you get so many people from the Coachella Valley that can't wait for Jazz in the Pines. Again, it's happening next weekend, August 11th, 12th, and 13th. So, John, tell us about this year's Jazz in the Pines. Who will we be seeing? I know there are three different stages. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It will be a lot of fun. And as you mentioned, three different stages. And importantly about that is that there are different styles within the jazz genre that are showcased on those different stages. So the main stage has, of course, our headlining acts, and we're real excited to welcome, in one case, back to the festival. And then Russell Malone on Sunday is new to the festival. But we welcome back Charles McPherson and his quintet, who will close out the main stage on Saturday. And these are two gentlemen who have played with real giants of the jazz pantheon, and I guess what you would consider to be more traditional, straight-ahead, and in McPherson's case, bebop-style jazz. But in the French Quarter, we also have groups that are more inclined towards rock and roll, R&B, and blues, and funk, and zydeco, and those sorts of styles. So people are up and out of their chairs dancing, and that becomes quite a bit more of a party scene. And then the intimate Stevens Recital Hall, which, as you know, the intimacy that I reference suggests, is a place where people are more inclined just to sit quietly in their seats and enjoy the jazz. And it's just wonderful, and sometimes a little more contemporary, progressive styles of jazz, string consorts and such that are showcased there. So there's a lot of variety, and we like to boast something for everyone, not just jazz aficionados.
And the performance. performances on the different stage. I'm looking at the list here. Many of them start. We have one that starts at 10:30, others start at 11, 10:45, and they run all day long. So when you go to Jazz in the Pine, folks, you're not going to see just one or two performances or one on each stage. You have the opportunity to go to see several performances on all three stages. So you can either run around or find your perfect seat. And I love the area where you have the parachutes over it. It's just gorgeous there. And sit outside and enjoy the beautiful scenery, because it is. You're right there in the middle of the forest.
That's true, and you're right that the fun for some people, I think, is kind of strategizing what their route is going to be and where they're going to set up, whether for the long term or, as you said, sort of hopping around from one venue to another. And the starting times, as you mentioned, are scattered so that you would be able to catch part of one act and then catch the opening of another act and then leave it to catch the opening of another throughout the day. And, yeah, continuous music on three stages, 27 bands, over the course of Friday evening, which begins with our VIP patrons dinner and dance party, and then again Saturday morning until about 5:45, both days, Saturday and Sunday.
All right, and with us, folks, is John Newman. He is the director of business operations up there at the Idlewild Arts Foundation, which is just about an hour or so from the Coachella Valley here. Now, John, on property there, are you going to have vendors and food? Is it just all about the music, or is there other things for the guests to partake in?
Oh, it's a beautiful festive scene and a full marketplace of both food and merchandise vendors, local artisans, all of whose crafts are handmade, things like jewelry and pottery and painting and wind chimes and the types of things that you would expect at really a bona fide music and arts festival. And there are over 50 vendors in total.
Okay, so it's an experience, folks. And you can buy tickets for two-day tickets or one-day tickets. Now, how do they get the tickets? Can they buy them at the door? Do they have to buy them online?
Both options are available. You can buy them in advance online at the website, which is www.jazzinthepines.com. And tickets will also be available at the main gate for purchase Saturday and Sunday.
Now,
we also have a retail shop in the center of the town of Idlewild, which I might mention is another very good reason to put Jazz in the Pines on your calendar, because of Idlewild, the town itself. Really lovely shops and restaurants, and if you haven't been to Idlewild, I'd strongly suggest you check out the town. And as I started to mention, we do have a retail shop, Idlewild Arts does, in the center of town, where tickets are also available for purchase.
And I remember in past Jazz in the Pines, I've been up there, and you never know what musician is going to show up where. I was at one of the local restaurants downtown, and darn if that night one of the top headliners for Jazz in the Pines just decided to get up on the stage and do some singing.
Oh, that's very fun. Yes, and not uncommon. You're right. It happens sometimes at the VIP patrons dinner, too. We might have an honored guest who's on the bill for the next day, but because they love the music and the event so much, they do an impromptu set for the VIPs.
All right. And, John, also, do you have the shuttle that runs, because parking, explain the parking situation to everyone. Sometimes when people don't understand, if there's plenty of parking, they get a little worried, and that might just keep them from going. And we want to let them know you do have plenty of parking up there.
We do, and we make it as easy as possible for everyone. There are very well-marked sites throughout the town of Idlewild where there are large lots, and then we shuttle people from those lots right to the main gate. So you will be dropped off right at the entrance once you find a spot in one of the five different lots that are in town. And again, well-marked, very easy. We do not want that to deter anyone in any way.
All right. After 24 years, you know what you're doing up there at Jazz in the Pines.
That's right.
Definitely. And the website, again, folks, is jazzinthepines.com. It is on Traveling with Francoise, the website. You don't have to worry about it. So give us drop some names. Who are some of your headliners?
Well, I mentioned Charles McPherson and Russell Malone are our headliners on Saturday and Sunday, respectively. I'm really excited about an up-and-coming group that's going to open the main stage on Saturday morning called Frison, F-R-I-S-S-O-N. And they are an octet, a group of young upstarts recently graduated from the Oberlin Conservatory in Ohio. They'll be traveling from Ohio to make this engagement. They, too, are very excited to be playing on such a big stage early in their careers. And they're just phenomenal. Contemporary jazz fusion, as I mentioned, a big group of eight, heavily complemented by percussion, a vibraphone, two drummers, auxiliary percussion, and they're going to be really great, and a great way to open that main stage. We're super excited to be welcoming Joshua White back, who will be playing in Stevens. He's a San Diego-based musician. Really excited about a soloist, singer-songwriter from L.A. by the name of Eric Cutts, who will be playing in the French Quarter. Mm. He's a prolific singer-songwriter. He's written over 1,000 songs, and he has made his living by choice for a large part of his career busking throughout L.A., that is, just playing in impromptu locations. He actually recorded an entire album on sort of site-based recordings at various locales around Santa Monica in particular. So he's really exciting. And some of these names that I mentioned also reiterate the different styles and the variety that we're going to be showcasing throughout the weekend.
All right.
But the lineup is on the website. I would encourage people to check it out. I could list every act, but I know we don't have time for that.
All right. Well, John Newman, thank you so much. How's the weather up there in Ottawa?
It's beautiful, and thanks for mentioning that, because it's reliably about 20 to 25 degrees cooler than it is in the valley. Right now it's 77 degrees with a cool breeze and bright blue skies.
Well, that is sweater weather for us desert rats. So, John Newman, thanks so much. We can't wait for next weekend, Jazz in the Pines. Going to be a lot of fun, and we'll see you up there.
Thanks so much, Francois. We look forward to welcoming you.
All right. Okay, folks. Again, we have some tickets to give away to Jazz in the Pines when we come back here shortly. So, again, you want to go to that website, which is very simply jazzinthepines.com. That's jazzinthepines.com. And I do have some tickets to give away that are either good. You can use them on Saturday. You can use them on a Sunday. It is up to you. Whichever day you want to go, it's going to be a pair of tickets. So, again, we want to thank John Newman from Jazz in the Pines. Happening next weekend up in Idlewild. Perfect reason to get out of the desert just for the day. Or, I don't know, maybe you could camp. They have camping up there. You might want to do that as well. Make a little overnighter. I don't know if there's any hotel rooms left. I doubt it, but I bet you can find some campsites out there and do the glamping thing. How is that? Sounds like fun to me. All right, on that note, we're going to step aside. When we come back, we're going to stop, have a break here for some news, some national news. When we come back, we have a lot more travel information to talk about, and I have those tickets to give away. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise right here on Money Radio. All right, we have two tickets to Jazz in the Pines that are good for either Saturday or Sunday. I think this is like an $85 value each for these tickets. So if you would like to go either Saturday or Sunday, I will drop them in the mail tomorrow. You'll get them in plenty of time. Give us a call at 760-440-8255. That's 440-8255. And if you want to go solo, you could go both days. You go Saturday and Sunday. So the lines are open. Give us a call. You cannot have one in the last 30 days. 760-440-2855 for Jazz in the Pines up in Idlewild happening next weekend. All right. This segment of the show is brought to you by the Braille Institute in Rancho Mirage, offering free programs and services for seniors and others living with vision loss due to macular degeneration, glaucoma, and more. Now, their programs are closed for the month of August. I don't know if the Braille Institute is closed. I doubt the whole institute is closed, but they do not have any programs going on right now for the month of August. You can always give them a call at 760-321-1111. That's 760-321-1111. Now, what is happening out there on alerts and warnings? Now, there's a difference between a travel alert and a travel warning. Travel warnings are when they want you, the TSA, wants you to consider very carefully whether you should go to a country at all. Examples of reasons for issuing a travel warning might include unstable government, civil war, ongoing intense crime or violence, or frequent terrorist attacks. Travel alerts, on the other hand, they issue travel alerts for short-term events that the TSA thinks you should know about when traveling to certain countries. Examples of reasons for issuing a travel alert include an election season that is bound to have strikes, demonstrations, or disturbances, a health alert of an outbreak, evidence of an elevated risk of terrorist attacks, but they are short-term events that they cancel quickly. So there's a difference, again, between a warning and an alert. Right now, there is a warning for Somalia. Stay away. Yes, definitely. This was issued on August 3rd, and it's going on now. There is a travel alert for North Korea. You shouldn't be traveling there to begin with. Yeah, I wouldn't be going to North Korea. And also, Venezuela has a warning, a travel warning, as well as Jordan, the Republic of South Sudan. Egypt actually has a travel warning right now in effect, along with the Philippines. So those are just some of the areas out there that do have travel warnings going on. Speaking of some of the warnings, before we talk about some of the other travel events going on, travel industry news, Mexico, sadly, Mexico is just having terrible, terrible problems again. The crime going on in Mexico has nearly tripled again. Violent crimes that are encroaching on the Riviera Maya, which is a hot spot in Playa del Carmen and Tulum, jeopardizing the $20 billion industry. The deaths are up 400%, and a lot of this is not so much tourists, but it's with all this gang-related activity.
Right.
But it's terrible because now it is encroaching into the tourist section. It says here 35 million foreign visitors went to Mexico last year. 79% of Cancun residents call the city insecure. That's the residents.
That's a lot, yeah.
79%. 133 murders in Quintana Roo this year alone.
Wow.
And that is so scary because I know people that go to Cancun all the time. They have the timeshares there along the beach.
Yep.
And the police are still trying. They're trying so hard to keep that away from the tourists, but it's starting to encroach. In fact, Acapulco now, which was a huge travel. I've been to Acapulco so many times.
Oh, yeah?
Never a problem. Now, stay away. Yeah. It is bad news in Acapulco.
Yeah. In fact, no fun because they're really pretty places.
Oh, beautiful places. Just gorgeous. And the food in Mexico is so delicious. The people are so nice. It's so sad. But Acapulco, the cruise ships bypass.
Do they?
Yeah, they don't even stop there because of all the problems.
It's a liability.
Yeah, so Mexico is definitely having their problems. And now another problem that Mexico has, and this, I'm pretty sure, because we have never been able to figure out what happened to me. We went on a cruise to Mexico. It was a New Year's cruise. This was probably, I'm going to say, 12 years ago, 13 years ago, something right in there. I decided, I'm not a big drinker, but I decided, along with the group that we were with, I would have a few margaritas, okay?
So once it's like in a while. Peer pressure.
Yeah. But I think I was just in sort of that mood that I just felt like it, which I normally don't. Right. We were cruising. Everything was wonderful. We're all having a great time. And I thought, okay, I can do this. Well, whatever I was given, it just it blacked me out. I don't remember getting into the taxi. I don't remember getting back to the room.
So
I woke
were you
up,
drugged?
I woke up with heart palpitations. I was telling Jack, I said, I wish I would just die. That's how bad it was.
Really?
It was horrible. It was so, so sick. Well, now they're finding that some of the places in Mexico are giving customers counterfeit alcohol.
Oh, really?
This is just starting to come into the news where people black out. I was violently sick. I mean, every single symptom that's happening on a reoccurring basis now. And they say it has to do with the alcohol. They're filling up bottles of junk alcohol. And that's not good.
No.
So you have to be really careful. I don't even know how you can regulate this, but the Mexican government has issued warnings to business and travelers about counterfeit alcohol. They encourage businesses to break bottles after use. They were throwing them away. So they are not bought on the black market and refilled with unregulated alcohol, which is then sold back to places. So, do you have to worry about everything?
Yeah, because I saw something like that about food, too.
I'm not sure how they would do the food. They can't that doesn't sound, but anyway, so I would be very careful because you can't just say this is going to happen in a tourist destination.
No, it's going
to
be wherever.
And you don't want to say it's going to happen where the locals go, because I don't think they would want to. Now, we weren't robbed or anything.
Right.
I just was violently ill.
Right.
And we couldn't figure out why did that two drinks affect me so severely.
Right.
This had to have been the case.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. So anyway, it was a mess. But after reading that, I said, well, there you go. That's probably what happened to me. Whatever they gave me was not what they gave everyone else, because it was a... And I remember distinctly when we got in the cab, there was four of us, and the others were drunk, but not like where I was almost unconscious, but yet I was had the cab money. And I remember having a $100 bill in there in my pocket and some change, and believe it or not, not even being conscious of not knowing what was going on, I gave the cabbie the right money and still had the $100 bill in my pocket that we all thought that would be gone. But no, there it was. And on the cruise ship, unfortunately, I threw up all the way down the hallway getting to my room. It was just, and I don't remember that until the next morning everyone pointed out to me. And it was really, really bad news. So anyway, okay, enough of that. But I still love Mexico. I still love Mexico. And I love how creative and the people and just terrible. Joshua Tree, right back here at home. Joshua Tree National Park will join Galloway Forest Park in Scotland, Warbungle National Park in Australia, Yuyang Firefly Eco Park in South Korea, and a dozens of other parks across the United States and the world next month when it is officially designated as an International Dark Sky Park.
Really?
So congratulations to Joshua Tree, meaning that when you go to Joshua Tree, there are no lightings near in the area to where when you sit back and look up, you're going to see a sky full of stars.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. So congratulations to Joshua Tree. Yeah, that is very exciting because it is spectacular. Now, Borrego Springs Resort is a dark sky community because, thank you, all the low lighting they have. They had to change all the lighting in the entire community, everywhere.
Really?
Homeowners had to follow suit, everyone. So at night, that there's no big glaring lights anywhere.
Right.
I don't know what they do about football games. Maybe they have during
there's
the day.
There's no Friday night lights.
I guess not. Did they have a big high school in Borrego Springs? I know they have a school, but it's not a big one. So anyway, there they are. They are Joshua Tree is a dark sky community, and so is the Borrego Springs, the community as a whole out there. So, again, congratulations to them. Okay, here's some other news. Remember the jets that almost, that one jet that almost collided with the other jets on the runway? Going into San Francisco Airport, it was all in the news. People couldn't believe it. There was a Air Canada jet that was going to land on the taxiway. It was coming in on the taxiway and not on the runway.
Oh, really?
And on the taxiway, there were several jets lined up to take off. It would have been a disaster, a horrific disaster had this happened. The pilots in the jets on the taxiway radioed the tower and said, there's something wrong here. Something is wrong here. This jet's coming at us. He's not on the runway. We'll come to find out. In fact, one of the Philippine Airlines, he started flashing endless lights at the jet coming in. The pilots, everyone sort of noticed it at the same time. The Air Canada Airbus, the pilots pulled up. They were just several feet above the first jet that they flew over. Pilot error. They don't know how this happened. They say, though, the system at airports that if a jet is coming in to land, that the air traffic control tower picks them up coming into the runway. However, if they are so far out of that radar where this guy was on the taxiway, they didn't even pick it up. He wasn't even on the radar because he was so far out of where he was supposed to be. So this could have been a horrific event, but the pilots on the ground were smart enough to make moves quickly. Like I said, you missed it. You were on the phone. One light plane, the Philippine Airlines, started flashing its runway lights to show to get these pilots in this jet.
Right.
And then everything happened at once. They pulled up and went over. They say at one point they were only about 3 feet above the tail of one of the jets that was on the ground.
Wow.
Oh, boy. So they are still investigating this. And they say the pilots were veteran flyers, 20,000 hours for one. The co-pilot had 10,000 hours. They just can't figure out. And the pilots
didn't turn around.
Well,
something.
The pilots even said something looked off to us.
Right.
It's hard to imagine that both of those guys, pilots, didn't figure out what was going on until luckily, thankfully, in time.
Yeah, I was just saying, well, it wasn't too late.
Yeah, and air traffic, that they missed that jet. Didn't someone wonder where did that jet go that was on the radar?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot of hands at play.
Yeah, so, but there was a disaster avoided, so good thing. All right, on that note, we're going to step aside. When we come back, we have a lot more. You are listening to Traveling with Francoise right here on Money Radio. Mm-hmm. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You are listening to Traveling with Francoise. I'm Francoise Rhodes, your host. All right, Sean, we had some more winners for our Jazz in the Pines tickets.
Yes, you did. You had Frank and Rancho Mirage.
Okay, well, congratulations, Frank. Yeah, he called in and didn't hear my tirade in the first hour about make sure you use tickets when you win them. All right. So we do have two more tickets to Jazz in the Pines. These are about $85 each. Give us their good for either Saturday or Sunday, either or, either day you want to go. Or, you, like I said, you can go solo and go both days. Give us a call at 760-440-8255. You cannot have one in the last 30 days. Again, that's 760-440-8255. This portion of the show is brought to you by Angel View Marts throughout the Coachella Valley and beyond. Travelers learn quickly they don't need a lot of stuff. Well, that holds true for our homes, RVs, boats, and life in general. So where do you take those newer gently used items? Angel View. Your donation helps to fund the many programs Angel View offers its clients with life-changing disabilities. For more info or to locate an Angel View Mart near you, visit angelview.org. That's angelview.org. In fact, when I was coming back from Las Vegas, and I was sitting through 29 Palms, there's a big sign along the road, Angel View Mart, with a big old arrow pointed over to it. Next time I'm going to stop because I do want to see the property there at Angel View. Okay, other travel news that we have going on. Okay, again, we have those tickets for Jazz in the Pines. Don't forget those. Give us a call right now. Travel spending to reach $100 billion this summer, according to Alliance Global Assistance 8th Annual Vacation Confidence Index, which has increased earlier this month. Summer vacation spending will be more than $100 billion this year. That is 12.5% more than last year. So that is good news. And speaking of travel, ACT, I was at the Adult Customized Tours Travel Club of the Desert meeting this past week, and then we had an orientation afterwards for the Nashville trip, which is coming up this month, the 18th, 19th, 20th. Remember the solar eclipse? We're going to have that full-blown solar eclipse happening on the 21st. Well, the ACT meeting was fun, and while there, they put out Adult Customized Tours, put out their new calendar for 2018. Yes, you can start booking trips in 2018. Here are just a few of the trips. They have Copper Canyon, they have the Best of China, India's Holy Fest, they have Russia's Scandinavia, Royal Caribbean cruise to Cuba, plus Key West, romantic Italian canals of Venice. So many great trips going on, Adult Customized Tours in 2018. So go to their website, give them a call over there, talk to Steve, Lalo, Tina, or Linda. It's at 760-322-1247. Of course, this trip to Nashville, we will be showing you what it's like to go on a tour with Adult Customized Tours. That's what this trip is all about. It is going to be a ton of fun. They do have a pageant, by the way, a pageant of the Masters. They had only a couple seats left, and I think it's August 24th, but you need to call the office and sign up for that to go to the pageant of the Masters with the group. The bus will take you there, drop you off, then pick you up afterwards. You don't have to do any driving. You don't have to worry about any parking. Definitely you might want to do that. So give them a call again over at Adult Customized Tours. Borrego Springs, they're having a pool party on Labor Day. If you want a good excuse, that's a great one to go out to Borrego Springs before the big festival in October. Give them a call. They have a Labor Day weekend pool party on September 2nd and 3rd at 1 p.m. Family friendly, open to the public, $5 per person. And plus, if you spend the night, it's 15% off rooms. So BorregoSpringsResort.com. Yes, Sean.
You have a winner.
Oh, I do? Who?
Yes, you have Dave from Palm Desert.
All right. Is he on the phone?
Yes.
Oh, hi, Dave from Palm Desert.
Hi. Hi, Francois.
How are you?
Good. Tired.
You're tired? Why?
Well, we just got in from a month-long trip back at the Midwest.
Wow. That sounds like fun.
It was very fun.
And I bet the weather was spectacular.
It was.
Yeah?
It was hot. And when you say hot, like the upper 80s back in the Midwest was very hot.
But it's
and
humid.
A couple
though.
Times it was in the upper 50s oh. during the day, so
ooh,
nice.
That's cool. But how about humidity?
Yeah, an 80 degree humid day is as bad as 105, 110 degree down here.
Okay. Well, frankly, Dave, you sound a little tired, but that's okay. I have one more question to ask you, and I'll let you go. What were there any highlights? Did you see anything that you want to tell us about?
Just saw family. We were up near the Canadian border in northern Minnesota and fishing with the family and catching walleye in northern.
Okay.
The highlight.
What was the largest fish you caught?
32-inch northern.
Oh, that's large. Hmm.
Yeah. It was fun, except the dumb mistake I made of picking up the fish with the hook still in its mouth, and it did a flip-flop and hooked my finger, and the barb went into my finger and out my finger.
Ouch!
So, very painful, and glad my son was calm enough to grab a pair of pliers and cut off the barb and pull the hook back through.
Well,
funny story.
That put
a laugh for all.
Yeah, a laugh afterwards after you recovered. Yes, after you recovered, got the bandage on and sat back. Well, Dave, thanks for calling. Congratulations. You won those tickets. Thanks for answering my questions, too, and being on the air for a few minutes. I always appreciate that.
All right. Thanks, Francois.
Okay.
Enjoy listening to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Make sure, stay on the line. Make sure Sean has all your information. And I'll get those tickets out tomorrow.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. All righty. There you go. See? Love that, to hear those stories. And if he didn't want to talk on the air, I would certainly appreciate that. But he seemed like, he did sound tired, though, didn't he? It sounded like he just got done carrying all his bags in the house. Maybe he was listening to us from the airport. I don't know. But anyway, Dave, thanks so much for calling in. As I was saying, Borrego Springs Resort, go to their website, BorregoSpringsResort.com, and book your room now for their Labor Day weekend pool party. It's going to be a lot of fun. I just sent some people whale watching, and they, I think, are going this weekend. We'll hear from them. Talked about the trips at ACT, so I'm going to put that over there. Let's see. Okay. Nashville happens this month. Nashville trip is sold out. Orientation meeting was fun as well. So, Sean, we talked about this on an earlier show. And this is about cruising. Well, no, this is not about cruising. I have a couple different things in front of me that I want to talk about. First of all, JetBlue. They're always trying to change things up. JetBlue, they have set the standard on having a unique experience on their flights.
Okay.
Having entertainment, celebrities just pop up, all sorts of things. On one of their flights from New York to New Orleans, pre-boarding flight attendees were handed liquor-themed dream bags, including Bacardi earbuds and sunglasses, and a copy of a magazine. They actually gave these out to people on the flight. They ended up having a celebrity mixologist come in and teach people how to make drinks that are served in New Orleans.
There you go. That sounds like fun.
And people got to drink them, too. And
then
they had drinks for kids that didn't have any alcohol
right.
in them. And they said it was so much fun. It was a surprise. No one on the jet knew about it. So good for, they created three different drinks, and they gave them names on board. They had fun with the names. So that's a nice, that would be fun.
That's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah, so JetBlue did that. Now, on the flip side, not with JetBlue, with airlines in general, the FAA is getting tired of the seats shrinking in size.
I did. I saw something about that. The incredible shrinking seats.
That's right here. This is the article. And they say, for those who think airline seats are becoming too cramped in economy class, they have appeared to have found some air allies. The Flyers Rights Consumer Group, they filed a suit to the U.S. Court of Appeals in D.C. Against the Federal Aviation Administration that it must reconsider whether airline seat size and space should be regulated. Something needs to happen. Yeah, because I have a bag that fits perfectly under the seat in front of me. It was made, it's a flexible bag,
right.
It's a soft-sided bag, and it was made to fit perfectly as much as I could fill it up and sideways under the seat in front of me.
Right.
And I love that bag because when I travel, it's frankly another suitcase that I don't have to pay for
right.
anything, but I can fill it up with a lot of stuff. So I'm thinking if they are shrinking the seats by another inch,
it may not fit.
Yeah, my bag full will not fit under that seat. But more importantly is, when I sit in the seat, and I'm average build, I'm nothing fantastic here, that I fill up that seat already.
All right.
And I look around me, and most adults of basically any size fill up a seat.
Right.
Kids don't. Kids still have some leeway.
Right.
So to make those seats smaller, not only will I have a full seat, but I'm already fighting with the person next to me to use
right,
the armrest,
arm
which I always give up anyway. I just, I don't want to just kind of put my arms. Hopefully I'm against the window in the aisle seat. But it's getting to be too much. Somebody needs to step in and stop this.
Yeah. Because, and they're just overselling them anyways.
Right. Yeah. And plus they're charging you for seats.
Right.
They're charging you now if you want an aisle seat. They're charging you if you want a window seat. They're charging you if you want to sit in a certain seat. Charging you if you want to sit next to someone. Really, with all this extra money they're making, all the seats, do they really need to charge to change the size of them? Okay, that's it. That's pretty much it. That's the show right there. We'll be back next week. We're going to do set. We're going to have Jan Harnick, the mayor of Palm Desert, who's going to come on the show. We're not talking politics, but we're going to talk about some of the mess that's happening in Palm Springs. How did all that happen? What do mayors do? I want to find out. So it's going to be a lot of fun. In the second hour of the show, we are going to talk about the obscure side of Hollywood, the paranormal, and all sorts of crazy murders and stuff that have happened. What's happened with author Brian Clune. So that's happening in the second hour. I have a book for you to win as well. So, all right, check our Facebook page because I'll have some Jazz in the Pines tickets there. Have a great one. And remember, it's never too late to get a life. See you next week.